Amen. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, the gospel according to Matthew chapter 2. And though we have listed 9 and 12, let's begin at the first verse.
Amen.
And for our sermonic spotlight, we'll place it on verses 9 through 12. But those of you who've brought your Bible, wave it in the air. And those of you who did not, shame on you. Shame on you. And now I guess you kind of wish you had it now, since I'm going to start us from the first, from verse 1 all the way through verse 12. But there is a blessing in the reading of the word. Amen. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Oh, that didn't sound like all of you. And if it was all of you, then y'all need to come on. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Oh, Sister Phyllis, you be working that thing fast, huh? All right. Well, bless your heart. All right. Well, if you keep up if you can, but it reads on this wise. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had heard, had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to come into the house of prayer just one more time. We ask, Father God, that you prepare our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us this day. We ask, Father God, that you would fertilize the ground of our heart, make it amenable for good word, to find a good lodging place, to produce good fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. My prayer is, Father God, that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth, that the words of my mouth would not be of myself, but they would be of you, and that they would go forth with clarity and with power, and that they would do those things that you've purposed them to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things we do ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And so just for a few moments of your time, we just want to talk from the idea, from the subject, take me to the King. Take me to the King. Here we find in the pericope that we have chosen that we might peruse through today that Jesus has already been born. I just want to help some people with their chronology, with their theology. Oftentimes, you're the only one that got it, but that's all right. just a couple of weeks ago, I went to go visit my mom. She lives in, she's currently in Arkansas, and whenever I have an opportunity, I like to go and visit with her. And so I visited with her, and of course, it was just a couple of weeks ago, and so people had out their Christmas decorations. And so it just so happens that, you know, there are more than just a few churches in Arkansas. As a matter of fact, they're kind of like liquor stores here, right? You trip over a church in Arkansas. And it just so happens that many of those churches there had out their nativity scenes. And don't you know that some of them had out their nativity scenes, and you had Jesus, the baby, right? You had Mary and Joseph. You had a couple of fellows that looked like shepherds. And then you had these three fellows who had gifts in their hands. And so oftentimes we don't think anything of that, but you realize that these are two separate periods of time. That the shepherds showed up on the night that Jesus was born. The wise men or the magi, they show up maybe a year, maybe more, maybe less after Jesus is born. And the reason why, and I like the 2 years, the reason why we oftentimes we say 2 years is that this fella Herod, and if you go back and you read the antiquities of Josephus, you find that Herod is really a bad guy, to put it lightly. As a matter of fact, his history is such that it is such a bloody history that oftentimes what he does to these children who are 2 years and younger is oftentimes overlooked by all the other blood he has shed prior to this point. Herod didn't get his position because he was out of the lineage of David. Oh, no. Herod got his position because of the emperor who was in Rome. He kept his position as emperors went through. First there, I think he got his first position there when Pompey was the emperor of Rome. And Pompey set him up as the emperor there in Jerusalem. And then from Pompey through Anthony and through Octavius Caesar, he was able to keep that position because whenever a new king was in Rome, he ingratiated or he made it so that he was in good with the king. Can I just say it this way? He was in good with the king in Rome, so he got to keep his spot there in Jerusalem. But not only that, if they needed anything, Herod was their boy. Oh, you needed somebody killed? Herod's your boy. If you need to go to war, Herod's your boy. Oh, you need some folks slaughtered? Not a problem. Herod's your boy. Matter of fact, they said that the reason why it was so peaceful in Jerusalem at the time that Herod reigned Jerusalem was that he didn't have no problem taking anybody out. I'm just making it plain for you. I just got that from all the reading. I did that for you, but you can do it for yourself. And so Jesus is born on the tail end of Herod the Great's reign. Now, I'm just giving you more history. This is stuff you can look up on your own. But Herod the Great is called Herod the Great because of all the things he built to keep in good with the Jews who were there. You just can't rule with an iron fist. Sometimes you got to have a carrot and a stick. Everybody knew what Herod's stick was, but Herod's carrot was that he'd build you a building with no problem. He built them a temple. He built them Masada. He built them other places where basically, and then when he had the, matter of fact, when he had the temple rebuilt, Herod had the temple built with all priests. That meant that anybody who wasn't a priest couldn't go up in there and build on the temple. And that gave, and you know what? If you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And so while they, yeah, I got that one right. And so while he gave on one hand, he was quick to kill you on the other. And so here it is, these men from the east. And notice, they don't give you a number. I'm just helping your chronology theology. It just says, wise men from the east. They don't say where in the east they came from. It didn't say that they followed the star from the east to east. Because, you know, for them to follow the stars don't, would not, oh, sorry, the earth doesn't spin in the direction that they would have to follow a star. It just says that they were from the east. Now, I'm not going to get into the star because even the scholars ain't even straight on the star. I'm just going to say that it was something that happened in the heavens that was above and beyond, that was supernatural, to the point where these men who were in the east saw it and said, there must be a king that was born in Jerusalem. Now, how they came to that point, the Bible doesn't say. But they thought so much of it that they got on their horses or ponies or camels or whatever else. They loaded up gifts, frankincense, myrrh, and then they put it all on a caravan because, you know, it's not like today where, you know, you decide to take a trip. You make your way to the airport or you hop in your car and you go. Well, you know, everything back in those days was pony power. You either rode your camel, you rode your mule, you rode your horse, or you walked. And so trips ain't like they are today. You know, if you were to walk from here, look, I'm going to just say this, not like y'all, you know, ever walked to Vegas. But if you were able to walk to Vegas, it would be more than just a couple of days. Amen. And then it would be a journey that you would need to take some, you know, some food for. Amen. It ain't like, you know, y'all get tired after about 3 or 4 hours. Talk about where the food at. Where we gonna eat? I used to hate taking trips with my kids. We hungry. When we gonna stop? Back in them days, it was like, if you didn't pack it, you wasn't eating it. If you didn't capture it on the way, you wasn't going to have nothing to eat. You just didn't take a journey. You had to prepare for a journey. And so that's why it makes sense that when Herod begins to ask the wise men, well, when y'all see that star, it wasn't like a month ago or 2 months prior. See, Jesus had already been born. And so what Herod is asking them to do is to give him an idea, an approximation as to when you saw this star, which meant that Jesus already had to be born. Come on, Jesus already had to be born. These men wasn't at the manger. No. House. They found them in a domicile. Yeah. 50 cent word for house. And it would just make sense that Joseph would stay in because he there was a lot of people in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a large city. There were a lot of people there who probably needed woodworking, amen, who needed somebody to put together tables, chairs, whatever else that they needed, household. I'm quite sure he put together cabinets really well. I'm quite sure he was doing well there in Bethlehem. So why would I want to go back to Nazareth? I'm doing really well here in Bethlehem, I got a wife, I got a small child. I'm not real quick to get back to where I need to be, and I'm doing real good. The wise men show up. And the wise men show up, and they have this, and they show up in town. Now, notice they're called the wise men simply because they're magi, who are simply from the east. They come because they see this supernatural star in the sky. They show up in town and they ask the question, take me to the king. If you're taking notes, this is the first note you want to take. First point you want to make is that to get to the king, you got to beware of false friends. Wow. Verse 9 says, when they heard the king, they departed. The Bible says, when they heard the king, they departed. The Bible says the magi were entertained. They were received by a Herod. He gives them advice. He gives them direction. Herod probably turned out to be a really nice guy on the surface. Right, right, right. But, you know, that's how false friends are. They're really nice on the surface, but they don't have your best interest in mind. That's it. We realize that Herod ain't got really their best interest in mind. Matter of fact, Herod wants to use them. Can I just put my finger here in the text and just kind of bring this home to you? There are some people in your life who you call friend, but they ain't really your friend. They might be using you so they can get something that they want. They might be using you so they can talk about you. You know, somebody, you know, sometimes some people just ain't fulfilled unless they got somebody they can just pick on. Amen. Somebody who they can just talk about. You know, now I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard it said that, you know, good looking women always want to be in the company of women who don't look as good as them. So that way they shine brighter when they're in their company. Not that they necessarily dislike these women, but these women make them look better. And you know what? I can kind of understand, right? You put a diamond in the mix of some rubies, not to say rubies are bad, but what stands out? The diamond. I'm not saying, but now everybody ought to be treated like a diamond, but not everybody is. And your false friends may treat you on the outside as though you were a diamond, but really, you might be a ruby or even less. Beware of false friends. Your false friends will give you direction. They may even give you some good advice at times, but they're not really your friend. They're not really concerned about what it is that you've come to do, what it is that you're about, why it is that you're here, why it is that you're around them. They are false friends. They don't care nothing about you. And don't you know that the world is just like that? The world will appear to be your friend. It will offer you things that will even eventually destroy you or that will eventually cause you to sin or fall into the hands of Satan. All I've come by to let you know is that not everybody who appears to be your friend is not really your friend. Now, Herod goes and he starts to give them advice and he tells them, you know what, let me get back to you on that thing about the king of the Jews. Because, you know, now Herod, if you know anything about Herod, Herod didn't care about much else other than his throne and trying to keep it. And so when he started hearing the story about King of the Jews, I ain't had no baby up in my house. Okay. And so what does he do? He says, the Bible says that he became troubled and all of Jerusalem with him.
Yes.
Now, you already got this reputation that you take somebody out. So everybody around you knows this dude. Look, he kind of cray cray. If he not happy, somebody gonna end up dead. So we better act like, you know what? You know what? A good way to keep a job, even if you don't like your boss, is that everything that's important to your boss should become important to you. That's for real. If you don't come away from anything else from this, if I even don't even get your chronology with your theology correct. If you walk away with this, if it's important to your boss, it should be important to you if you want to keep your job or keep your life, as in this case. Herod turns to the Sanhedrin. He turns to the Pharisees. He turns to the scribes, and he gets them all together. He puts the wise men on hold. He says, "Yay, you know what? Y'all kick it over here. Eat some of these figs and some of these grapes. Refresh yourself. I got some rooms for you." I'm just using my homiletical, exegetical imagination. But if I'm just going to put you and let you rest for a while, I'm going to put you off to the side because I'm going to need you later on to go do my dirty deed.
Right.
And so he comes to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he asks them, where is it that the king of the Jews is supposed? Now, they knew what this meant. This didn't necessarily mean that somebody else was going to come right directly behind Herod. What it meant was, where is the Messiah? See, it didn't resonate. Just to show you why it didn't resonate with Herod because Herod wasn't a Jew.
Yes, sir.
Herod was an Edomite.
Right.
If you follow his lineage from where he was to where he is then, he was nowhere in the lineage of David.
Nowhere.
He's sitting on a stolen throne placed on there by entities outside of Jerusalem. That's the reason why the Jews didn't like him. Oh, they loved him for building the temple. Oh, they loved him for building the amphitheater. Oh, they loved him for all that he, Masada and all the other places that he created. But they didn't like the man, not simply because he was killing folk off, but he wasn't one of them. Where is the king of the Jews? He knew that this was about the Messiah. The Pharisees knew that this was about the Messiah. The Sadducees knew that it was about the Messiah. And the people who ought to know, the lawyers, the scribes, knew that it was about the Messiah.
Amen.
And so because they were more afraid of Herod than they were looking towards the Messiah, They give up where the Messiah should be. Oh, go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Oh, yeah, he's supposed to be out of Judah. Yeah, he down the way. He less than 6 miles away. He at Bethlehem. Go there and look for him there. Now that he has the information, he calls him to the side. I got some advice for my false friends. You go look for him there. Go to and then when you find him, let me know. Yeah. Wink, wink, nod, nod. When wise men heard what they said, they went on their way. To get to the king, beware of false friends, but then beware of devious distractions. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Notice here that Matthew continues throughout to say young child, not babe, but young child. I'm helping you again with your theology. After that visit with King Herod, the wise men continued to follow the star they had seen in the east. They did not detour from their original pursuit. You ever lose sight or just got distracted? When you had a plan, you had a purpose, you had worked it out, you had put it down on paper, you put it in your pocket so you wouldn't forget, and then somewhere along the way, somebody was selling ice cream. And you got distracted. Or maybe she showed up.
Yes. Distraction.
She looked good. Yeah. She smelled good. I won't say she tasted good, but she was good. Got you distracted. Or maybe it was him. He was manly. Got muscles. Muscles in his neck. Look good, strong. Maybe he had a job. Driving a BMW. I don't know, but you got distracted. It's like the Flim Flam man. You ever play three card Monty?
Yes.
Did you ever win?
No.
You know why he didn't win? Because when they flipped them cards, it's meant to distract you. And life is like that the same way. Life has a way of distracting you. You've written down the plan for your life. You wrote it out. You had an idea where you want to go, how did you want to do it, and how much money you was going to put away to do it. And for some reason, you got distracted. The devil is good at distracting you. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes, sir.
But notice the first word, steal. He'll steal your dreams. He'll steal your hopes. He'll steal your desires. And he'll do it by distracting you.
Yes, sir.
I don't get mad when people come to church and they fall asleep, because I figure, you know what? It's the only place, maybe it's the only place that you can come and have peace enough where you can go to sleep. Because you got so many distractions at home. You got so many other distractions in your life that you don't have peace. And so any place that you can find it, man, if you can find peace here, go to sleep. I ain't got no problem. Amen. Because you know what? Some of them sermons that I thought I slept on, I remembered. He said, I think I remember during one of them times that my eyes was halfway closed that he said something about that he's able to make a way when there's no other way to be made. Some of the times when I was somewhere between here and the nether regions of dreamland, he said that he was a mighty God, that he was able to open closed doors and close doors that were open. Somewhere when I was between here and la-la land, I heard the sermon, and the preacher said that he was able to keep me when I wasn't able to keep myself. Beware of false friends. Beware of devious decisions. But then, not only that, to get to the king, you got to beware of the distractions. You got to beware of false friends. But then you got to carry out your calling.
Yes, sir.
You got to carry out your calling. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented the gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, when they left, when the Magi left the presence of Herod, I mean, in the back of your mind, you got to know that, you know, somewhere something just ain't right. And yeah, maybe we shouldn't have come here. But you realize that after you've been distracted, that there is the promise that you can get back on track. Yeah. See, God is a good God. He'll let you wander for 40 years before he lets you in the land.
Well, come on now.
Sometimes your wandering is for your maturity.
Yes,
sometimes you got to be lost to be found. You don't believe me? Look at the children of Israel. They had to. There was a whole generation they had to leave behind before they could get where it was that God wanted them to be. Sometimes there's some people that you need to leave behind so you can get to where you need to be. Not everybody who's your friend is a true friend. Sometimes you need to leave them so you can get to where it is that you need to be. They had to leave Herod. But you know what? It wasn't like Herod was looking for them.
No.
They were looking for the king. So oftentimes in our, you know, we use our brain every so often. And when we use our brain, you just think, okay, well, if I'm looking for the king, then I need to go to the palace because that's where kings are. And so if there's going to be a new king, then the old king got to know where the new king is going to be, right? I mean, that just makes sense, right? But it didn't make sense in this case because they didn't know the whole backstory. Because if they knew the backstory, they would have never showed up in Herod's house. But they showed up in Herod's house, and they show up for this reason. How many of y'all are on the Lord's side? Even in the house of God, how many are y'all on the Lord's side? See, they didn't just show up in any place. They showed up in Jerusalem, you know, the city of David. You know where the temple is. You know where God ought to be, where the people of God ought to be. The people of God ought to know when they start using terms like the king of the Jews, and you know that the current king ain't Jewish, so that means that there's someone coming to supplant the one that's there.
Yeah.
It's the one you've been looking for. And so even Herod had good enough sense to ask the people who ought to know, who is this king and where is he supposed to be born? But check this out. Didn't none of them care enough to go? They knew some strangers were in town, and they knew the strangers knew something that they didn't know, but they didn't care whether or not they knew it. Don't you know that God is in that type of business? God will bless folk who you don't even think are saved and cause them to be a blessing to save folk, even though they don't look like it. You don't believe me? Talk about Joe the Rag Man. Who's Joe the Rag Man? Joe the Rag Man is somebody you don't know, but he know you. Joe the Ragman comes to you and tells you your house is on fire. You'd be like, that's Joe the Ragman. I don't care what Joe the Ragman got to say. You get home, your house is burnt down. Doesn't matter who brings you the information as long as the information is true. They don't believe these men because, number one, the Magi ain't Jewish. They come from a part of the country or the world where they don't understand. They don't care to understand. They ain't Jewish, and so they boo-boo. We don't really care what they have to say. Yeah, the Magi, yeah, okay, all right, Mr. Magi, y'all go look for him in, and that's their attitude. Y'all go look for him, and if you find him, come back and let us know. But here it is. Jesus says that if you look in the scriptures, they all speak about me. The Pharisees knew it. The scribes knew it. The Sanhedrin knew it. Even Herod knows it after he speaks with them. But none of them could be bothered to go with the Magi as they go look for the Messiah. He wasn't the Messiah. Now look, Messiah is a Jewish word. Messiah comes out of the house of David. If nothing would set your feet on fire, what? You mean the lineage of David is coming back to take back the throne? Every Pharisee should have got up and ran out with him. Ran. Come on, let's go. The king is here.
The expected one.
But they all took the seats. And they told Herod, tell them this, that you can find him in Bethlehem. And Herod tells them, when you find him, come back and let me know so I can worship him.
Yeah, right.
The Magi leave the same way they come in, and oftentimes we find ourselves in that same position. We've been distracted. We have been detoured. We've been taken off course, and sometimes that course may take us days, months, and years before we can get back on course. But yet and still, God is a good God, because just like the Magi, I know there had to be some trepidation in their heart when they showed up at Herod's house, and after they left his house, will the star still be there? And so the question of many of us in our lives, there was a star in our life. There was a star that was taking us places, that there was a desire and a hope in our heart, and it was giving us a desire to go do some things, to be a blessing to not just ourselves, but to our families, and maybe not just our families, but to the world as well. If I can just make this thing happen, then everybody would see that I'm more than what my people said I was. I'm more than just that F in physics. I'm more than just that a grade in a book. I'm more than just the guy who was selling dope on the corner. I'm more than just a guy who's on the corner drinking a 40 sitting on top of a water hydrant. I'm more. And so when they thought that possibly they had failed, the star was still there. And then the Bible says they rejoiced greatly. You ever been lost and then been found? You ever been the least and then you find out that, you know what, I'm not the least. You ever get an upgrade and you didn't deserve an upgrade? Yeah, I remember one time I went on a flight. They had oversold the flight. They say, well, Mr. Man, we'll put you on another flight. I said, well, you know, I ain't got to be there. Okay, I'll give up my, because this lady got to get where she need to get to, so I'll give it up. I get on, and they put me on the next flight. They say, Mr. Evans, your seat is here. And can I take your coat? And what do you want for your meal? And I mean, I'm sitting in a chair and it go back. I mean, not like, you know, most airline seats, you know, not where y'all sit, you know, it go back a little bit, about 2 inches. This thing went all the way back. And it was a leather seat. And it was good. Matter of fact, the meal that they served me, it was on a plate. You can tell this is way back in the day. It was on a plate. I mean, it was like China. And, yeah, I know. Huh? Yeah, okay, Brother House. It was on a plate, and we had, like, real utensils. And it was warm, and it was good. And then I turned to the fella. I said, if you don't want yours, I'll eat yours, too. I got an upgrade. I didn't do anything to deserve the upgrade. Simply gave up my lower grade seat so I can sit in an upgraded seat. And that's all I came by to let you know, is that oftentimes, sometimes, you know what, when you get back on track, it'll be better than what it was before. You was rumbling, stumbling, and bumbling, but now you got a lantern, or you got a light to show you the way. It's the star. You need to hook your wagon up to it and follow it. You need to carry out your calling. When they get to the house, they open up the treasures. All that they had come to do, they were now able to do. All that they had come to do, they were all that they had come to do, now they were able to do. They followed the star. The star took them to where they needed to go. And there they found the child. And they presented that child with the gifts that they had. Don't you know, look, can I help you? You sound just like church, don't it? I made my way to church this morning. I came with the gift of praise. I came with a gift of worship. I came to give my tithe. I came to give my offering. I came to give my all. Why do I do all this? Because the one who I've come to see is worthy of my praise. He's worthy of all my money, worthy of all my time, worthy of the strife I had to suffer, worthy. These men took a months-long journey to get to a place that none of them knew, to worship a God that wasn't their God, but worshiped him because they adopted him as their God. Those who are not of the church are worshiping our God. There are those who are not of this church worshiping God and don't know who they're worshiping. That's why you need to find some sinner friends. So, because in every man there's a desire, every man, woman, boy, and girl, there's a desire to worship God. What we fail to do is introduce them to our God. Please, ma'am, please, sir. Don't be like Herod. Don't just ask the question. Where can he be found? Go to where he can be found. When you get to where he can be found, present your presence. And they do just that. They present their presence. And the presence they present are worthy of a king.
Amen.
They present him with gold. They present him with frankincense. They present him with myrrh. These are gifts that one would give a king. And then you notice they worship him.
Yes, sir.
Here it is, people who ain't Jewish worshiping Jewish God.
Messiah, yes.
They came and looked for the king of the Jews, not the king of the world. But they knew the title, but they didn't know the God.
Yes.
They knew the title, but they didn't know the God. And it's not until they found Jesus that they find God. But they don't know what to do with him other than to worship him. See, that doesn't come on later on until Jesus actually reveals who he is. Paul makes this statement to the Greeks. He says that the unknown, that you know that unknown God that y'all have been worshiping?
Yes, yes.
I've come by to let you know his name is Jesus. And he died on a cross. But 3 days later, he rose up out of the grave. That same Jesus is the same Jesus whom we call on today. He is Mary's baby. He is heaven's hero. He is the king of 10,000, the captain of 10,000. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the returning king. He is he who sits high and looks low. He is he who shall return. And he's going to ask each and every one of us, what did you do about my son? After they have done what it is that they needed to do, after they have presented their gifts, the Bible says, being divinely warned in a dream, God speaks to them. All this time, they just been following the star. They ain't talked nowhere to Jesus. They ain't talked nowhere to God. They ain't even spoke to the Holy Spirit. Now, after they have worshiped Jesus, now they start getting divine dreams. And you know what probably blew their minds? You know, let me tell you about when I went to sleep last night. I had this dream. And it was a fella, he was all glowy, and he said, don't go back to Herod. You know what? I had that same dream. And I bet there was another fella said, you know what? I had that same dream. And you know what? God has a way of freaking you out to such a point where, you know what, we better do what the dream said. They leave humble. Then being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country in another way. Back in 2003, there was a fellow by the name of George W. Bush. And he stood upon the aircraft carrier, the Abraham Lincoln, and he announced on a televised speech that major combat operations in in Iran had been concluded. And behind him, there was a banner that said, "Mission accomplished." Now, when the Magi did what they did, they had set out to do, they returned to their own company, to their own country. There were no banners. There was no fanfare. There was no aircraft carrier for them to stand on and say, we brought our gifts and we gave worship to the king. You know, they didn't announce it, but they left humbly. All they wanted to do was what? Be in the presence of the king. And I'm going to say this and then I'm going to take my seat. There is a songwriter, and she says, "Take me to the king. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn to pieces. That's my offering. Leave me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and to sing to you this song. Please take me to the king. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people. So, Lord, speak right now. Let it fall like rain. We're desperate, and we're chasing after you. No rules, no religion. I've made my decision to run to you, the healer that I need." The word of God has gone forward, and it's doing those things that God has purposed it to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. Wouldn't it be a sad indictment of those of us who are here